This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, a couple of stories. We got a lot here, Mike. Top stories of the day. So now the NBA is really digging in on new ways to prevent teams from tanking. They've begun to gather input from its owners and general managers on new ways to combat tanking in the aftermath of the gambling scandal that rocked the league, according to Shams of ESPN. Now, on Friday, they did outline a plan to try to get away from some of the gambling stuff after the whole thing. You know, we've been following it with Rozier and Chauncey Billups. Well, and when this one came out, Friday's story, prosecutors allege that the conspirator matching Billups' description told a bettor that the Trailblazers would be tanking and resting star players ahead of a March 2023 game against the Chicago Bulls before the information was made public. The NBA plans, now this is just the wager side, they plan to advocate for further restrictions on prop bets, wagers on the statistical performance of individual players, including how much can be wagered, limitations on under bets, reducing the number of players offered by sports books, and eliminating bets that could be determined on a single play. So that's one. The tanking thing is pretty fascinating here. Limiting pick protections to either top 4 or 14 and higher, which would eliminate the problematic mid-lottery protections. No longer allowing a team to draft in the top 4 2 years in a row. Locking lottery positions after March 1st. These are all just fascinating ideas. Multiple sources describe the attempts to find solutions to tanking are not intended to deter rebuilding teams who use their players as normal, but rather teams that deliberately manipulate their rosters down the stretch of a season to land a higher pick or a protection range. They last changed the lottery rules in 2019, giving the three worst teams in the regular season the same 14% odds to land the number one pick and a 52.1% chance of landing in the top four. Since then, three teams have jumped from outside the top five best odds to land the top pick, including the Hawks and, of course, the Dallas Mavericks. Each of the past two seasons, the Mavericks was crazy because they traded Luka Doncic and then ended up with a top pick and got Cooper Flagg. So, fascinating there. I always thought, now there's a lot more brain power that would need to go into this, Michael, but I always thought reward the first team out. You know, the first team that misses the playoffs. Because, listen, it's not football. Football fans, you kind of know you're out of it with 8, 7, 6 maybe weeks to go, or maybe less, maybe more, but you still, like, it's not that long of a season. And you can go 7 weeks in, 8 weeks in, and still kind of think, well, you know, maybe we could at least battle back and make something of it. The NBA is like, now you look around at the league and you start seeing the teams that are going to be there. Like, the Washington Wizards are 5-22. Their season is over. The Indiana Pacers are 6-23. I mean, more than likely. The Pacers are 6-23. Obviously, they lost a stud player. The Kings are surprisingly 7-22 because they beat the Nuggets a couple times this year. The Clippers are 7-21. Like, those are teams that are probably, like, the Pelicans are out and Jazz are probably already out. What the NBA is trying to do is say, okay, December and January, we can't be having teams that are at the bottom of the barrel now just tanking, because that's just terrible for fans. Because you got you know, January, February, March, April, half of a little bit of May, still several months for these fan bases. They're not going to go to games when it's this bad. So the NBA is trying to, especially after you're getting reports that allegedly a guy that matched Chauncey Billups' description is basically saying to people, hey, we're resting guys, we're tanking. We all know it's happening. We know it's, even if you make a fix here, it's going to continue to happen. The lottery tries to even that out a little bit. So even if you're the worst team in the league, doesn't guarantee that you're going to have the number one pick. It's still just a clunky situation. It's a weird situation because there's not a lot that you can, if you still have a 14% chance of landing the number one pick and a 52.1% chance of landing in the top four. The problem with my argument is the rich get richer and the bad teams never have a real chance. But, well, you can draft a Nikola Jokic in the second round, be better at drafting, I guess. It's a long season. It's hard to get away from tanking. It's hard to deter fan, you know, to not deter fans from wanting to go to your games when they know the season is over. I mean, I remember going to Nuggets games at McNichols Arena when they were winning 11 games and 15 games and all that. And as a kid, I'm just happy to see NBA players. But I remember the kiosks being full of Michael Jordan gear when they play the Bulls. And it was almost like a home game for the Bulls. That's your biggest push is, hey, come see superstars play in these games. Sometimes when the teams are so bad, that's when the superstars might take a rest. So the NBA is trying to figure it out. I don't know. Honestly, like, I have a lot more thoughts on how to fix college football than I do the NBA and their tanking. I always thought, you know, you reward the teams to continue. You find a way to reward teams to play better. And this is why, like, early in the season, if you're going to do this cup thing, maybe a bad team that's just gets hot in the cup games, gives them something to play for, and you get a pick out of it or something. If you're going to make the cup actually mean something, then it should have something to do, to me, with picks or maybe a long shot playoff spot. I don't know. That's kind of crazy, too. Because even then, in the cup, you're still seeing future playoff teams play in that. Faith texting in, do you think the NBA should play less games so they have more time in between games? May help with injuries and give more practice time that may help with teams getting better. Here's the answer. The short answer to that is yes. They should play less games. You're just not going to get owners to go for it. Because then what owners would have to do, if you're going to, let's say they get to 72. I've always thought 72 would be a good number. You're going to have to make up for the five home games you're missing. So then they're going to raise ticket prices up and down the board to essentially make up for those five games you missed. That's how it's going to, the GMs will, the owners of the teams will never agree to that unless they can still make the same amount of money on the back end. Texter here also, do away with the stupid cup, didn't make the league any better. No, it's only made it more confusing. The league's been silly. How about this one, Mike? Yeah, you've been following the former Georgia pass rusher, Damon Wilson II. He says now that the school's athletic department is attempting to illegally punish him for entering the transfer portal in a lawsuit filed Tuesday. Now, keep this story in mind. Keep the Troy Aikman story in mind, okay? The one where he donated $1 million to UCLA to try to get a stud quarterback there. The guy leaves after a year. Aikman's like, screw that. I'm done. I'm not giving to NIL ever again. Okay, keep that story in the back of your brain. So this is part of an ongoing dispute that could have far-reaching implications, according to Dan Murphy of ESPN, on how player contracts work in college sports. So here's how it happened. Wilson transferred last January to Missouri, where he was the team's leader in sacks during the 2025 season. Weeks after signing a term sheet for a 14-month name, image, and likeness contract with Georgia's Booster Collective, he collected $30,000 in an initial payment for what was a $500,000 deal before leaving the Bulldogs. So he collects some of it, didn't get it all. Georgia filed a lawsuit last month claiming that Wilson owed the athletic department $390,000 in liquidated damages for leaving the team. Wilson's countersuit filed in Missouri State Court claims that Georgia has weaponized a liquidated damages clause in an unenforceable way to punish Wilson for entering the portal. Okay, here's the logical part of my brain. Guy signs with school. We tell him that donors have chipped in to pay $500,000. Here, this will be yours. I legally can't tell him that you got to stay here, which is diabolical to my brain. Because, like, I'm saying, you're coming to the school, I got $500,000 waiting for you. But then I'm going to lay it out in a way that you don't get it all up front, whatever. And then you take, you know, $30,000 in the initial payment. And then that was the $500,000 deal before leaving the Bulldogs. Then they're saying, hey, you owe us money now because you reneged on that. You left. You entered the portal. Even though we agreed that you were going to get this kind of money, this is why, folks, you have to have contracts. Because donors are going to donate money because you're telling them, I got a stud D lineman coming in, but I can't get him. Well, how much is it going to cost? I need to round up $500,000. Now, here's a check. Make sure he stays. Okay? I can't, but all right, we'll make sure. Here's $500,000. I don't know if he got all of it, but this is what we're doing to get these players here. In the Troy Aikman story, now we don't know 100% who the quarterback was. We have an idea. But Troy Aikman said, hey, I donated $1 million so they could get this stud quarterback. He played for 1 year and then left. I didn't even get a thank you. Yeah, I'm out. I'm not going to be doing NIL deals anymore. You can't have this happening. You are going to get donor fatigue, mistrust in your organization. I mean, it used to be I'm donating to school because you're going to put up, you know, I was a part of these conversations with Coach Smiley in 2020 with his round ball club of, hey, if you know, what we're trying to raise money for this year is a new, you know, the shooting basketball machine. You shoot it, it throws it back to you. Like, that allows guys to practice more by themselves, and they don't have to have somebody rebound. It seems minuscule, but it's actually pretty substantial. Like, if I'm a donor, it's cool. I'm donating because I'm helping the players get better. That's something that will always be there. That's a tangible. They can't just leave. Or I'm putting logos on stuff. You guys needed golf carts to go back and forth between whatever. We're going to donate those, and we're going to put our names on there. This is much different. Big Hub says, I see athletes signing extensions. Your thoughts? They're going to have to be contracted players. This is going to have to be. But the problem with that is until you're ready to name them professional athletes and continue to say they're student athletes, they have every right to transfer and go to a different school, just like you or I have every right to do that if we enter school. We don't like it in Fort Collins, so we're transferring from CSU to go somewhere else. We didn't have a good experience for whatever reason, and we're allowed to go. When you don't allow the student athlete the same kind of things that the students are getting, that's when you run into trouble. This is where they ran into trouble with NIL. A student at a college was able to go out, earn money. They're working directly in their field, and I know there's stipends and all that stuff that players started to get over the years, but they weren't, like, if I'm going to school to be a doctor, I'm there studying for my future job, and I'm going to be a doctor. These guys might be studying what the hell ever, but they're playing football. That's the reason they're there. They're not building up this future job prospect because they were focused on football the whole time. So the problem was you started treating student athletes much different than your students, and that's why the separation of, are they really a student athlete? They're mainly an athlete student. So This is where it's going. If you deny this, you're crazy, at least at the upper level in the Power Four world. They're going to get to the point where you're transferring here, neato, but here's your contract, meaning you can't transfer for 2 years. Otherwise, you know, this isn't like it's guaranteed money, but you have to assure me that you're not going anywhere. This is why when you hear PJ Fleck talk and say, hey, we're dealing with guys NFL managers deal with without the restrictions. I can sign Patrick Surtain to a 5-year contract extension, and I know I've got my number one cornerback on lock. He cannot just leave. He can retire, but he won't play. He can request a trade, and then I can go get something from it if I actually want to trade him. These schools get nothing. So they go out, and I'm defending the schools here. They go out and they bust their ass to try to raise money so they can get a better roster. And then the money goes to these kids. And I didn't like the new coach. I don't like the old coach. I wasn't getting the playing time I thought I was going to get. I was actually really good, and now I'm getting bigger looks from larger schools. Thanks, but no thanks. See you later. Well, we just gave you $100,000, and you already played. And like that, part of that was to get you here. That's the part now where the donors and the schools getting screwed because they have no assurances that these players will continue to stay within their program. Faith says, are they going to now have to start putting in so-called no trade clauses, etc., to start cutting down on these things happening? That's the thing. They tried. According to this story, they had him sign a term sheet for a 14-month name, image, and likeness contract. But it wasn't really. It's a term sheet. It's not really a contract. So, and here's the thing. The NCAA has no ground to stand on. Player says he's unhappy for whatever reason, getting more money, whatever. I mean, even if he doesn't want to admit that, he can simply say, yeah, I didn't like the culture there. I didn't get along with the coaches. It wasn't a good place for me mentally. So he would have them by the you-know-whats, even if it does come to money. Okay, player can't transfer for more money, even if they make that a rule. Well, I didn't. I didn't transfer for more money. I got in a fight with one of the coaches, which they all probably do, and I just didn't think it was a good environment for me. And lo and behold, he transfers, and oh, he just got a check for another $500,000. This is going to, again, just another part of this domino that is leading us to, you know, you knock the dominoes down and they roll around. This is leading us to professional athletes, where guys like Damon Wilson II will not be a student athlete. He will be a paid employee, paid to sack quarterbacks. What's your title? What's your job at the age of 19? I play for the Georgia Bulldogs, and I play defensive lineman. Like, that's my first job. This will be job. This will be your job. And it is their job. This is what they focus all their time and energy on. And then they got to do school and all that stuff in between. I've said for years, the scholarship means something to some, but not to most. These guys go to college to play football, basketball, whatever. And until we get to the day of being able to sign contracts, it's going to continue. I mean, I saw Rocky Beers enter the transfer portal. We had fun with the name and all that stuff, but that's a hit to CSU. Nobody knew who this guy was. Wasn't he playing at CSU Pueblo before? Nobody knew who this guy was. So he goes to CSU, puts up the best tight end numbers in CSU history, even with a guy like Trey McBride was on this team, but we know that story. It's for another day, too. And he enters the transfer portal. Why? Why would Rocky Beers, a guy you didn't know before the season started, Michael, why would Rocky Beers enter the transfer portal when you just brought in my opinion, and I think most people's opinion, an upgrade at head coach? Jim Mora, legend of the game, both NFL and college, over Jay Norvell. You mean to tell me Jay Norvell was that good that Rocky Beers is like, Jim Mora? No, thanks. No, they got to him. Probably, right? Somebody, somewhere, put it in his brain that there's money out there. Get in the portal. Go find it. That, we're already screwing over. We already have the football elitists that I'm starting to get really pissed off listening to Joel Klatt nonstop. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. Well, maybe the Power Fours don't deserve it because they've been doing crap illegally for so many damn years. It's getting frustrating. I know. On Saturday, it doesn't matter. We just watched the football game. But this whole elitist attitude, the dirtiest programs in all of sports, the dirtiest franchises, if we want to call them that, in all of sports, are typically college football teams, are typically the Power Four teams. And we're saying, G5, you don't belong here. Let us keep doing our thing illegally here. Well, then you can't poach their players. How about that? You don't want to give them a seat at the table? You can't get them. I don't know. That's maybe extreme. But this is the stuff that pisses me off, Mike. Is we want to sit here And we want to talk and put down, squeaked a little bit, going through puberty. We want to put down the G5s till we're blue in the face, but you don't have any problem going out and illegally contacting these players and getting them to come over and play for your school. The corruption doesn't end. And this is part of it. All part of it. And it's just, you have to call it what it is. If we're going to break away, then I suppose we have to break away. But if you want to poach a player of mine, like if Rocky Beers enters the portal and, I don't know, Mike, really good tight end at CSU, what kind of Power 4 opportunity? Could he play at Washington? Let's just throw it out there.
He's good enough.
Yeah, he's pretty good. They have Owen Long. Maybe that's a better example. Owen Long, like nation leader in tackles, really freaking good. Could go anywhere and play at a high level. He could play at Washington. If someone contacts him and says, enter the portal, and Washington's the one that signed him, and I'm not saying Washington did anything wrong here, but they're the ones that signed him, I think they need to write a check to the school. It's like a buyout. If you're poaching, why is it that coaches get bought out and now players are making sometimes in situations more than coaches? Why can't a player get bought out for something?
You'd have to prove that Washington was the one.
No, you don't even have to. If they enter the portal and they leave,
saying the team
like
that
agent.
Signs him that not necessarily poached him, because maybe Rocky Beers wasn't happy with the hire.
Maybe not.
But you're saying whoever it was who signed him
yeah.
has to replace some of that money?
Regardless of, and I'm talking about like a finder's fee kind of deal. Something. If Rocky Beers in his market is saying that he's a, I don't know, $50,000 guy, what's worth it to leave Jim Mora? $100,000? Let's say $100,000 guy. So he goes into the portal, and your market says $100,000 player. And it might not be much. It might be, okay, Washington has to cut a check of $10,000 to CSU. If it's, and then this is even broader, like if it's just G5, if you're poaching guys from G5 who you hate, who you can't stand the sight of, James Madison and Tulane, you being on the same field as Oregon and Ole Miss is disgusting to me. However, that D lineman that you picked up last year is pretty damn good. That's what pisses me off.
You're kind of oversimplifying things.
How?
They can play in the regular season.
How am I oversimplifying things?
Well, as far as my feelings, like you're saying, I find it disgusting. I don't think it's right for an undeserving team to beat out a deserving team.
They'll never be deserving if Power 4 schools keep paying them to come play for them.
Your solution here won't help out the, you know, a team like UNC.
I'm not talking about UNC. UNC's a different level.
A very low level.
We're talking about CSU.
UMass.
We're talking about CSU specifically.
Yeah, but like if Rocky Beers left because he was unhappy, he's not going to go to UMass. Like maybe he wanted to go somewhere else, and maybe UMass is a good place for him mentally. But if UMass has to write a check.
Power four, poaching.
Well, that's just not fair. Because then
you want to talk about not fair.
The other schools.
You want to talk about not fair? I mean, these schools are getting millions on top of millions on top of millions on top of millions to just continue to make their teams better and to have these crazy schedules, and they're supposed to be in the same leagues as these other teams. They have no starting point. So I'm talking about like if a Power 4 school poaches or signs a G5 school, maybe there should be some kind of a buyout clause in there. Might not be much, but if 20 dudes leave CSU at $10,000 a pop, then you start creating a little bag there that you can bring in better players. I'm not talking about direct. Like I'm getting Big Hub says it's a little crazy because what if CSU poaches from UConn? Well, those are two. UConn's an independent. That's not a lesser or above necessarily. But if Notre Dame's poaching from UConn, then UConn get in a conference. Find a way to get in a conference, I think. Something has to be done. You can't keep doing, like, I can't keep going to donors. If I work for CSU, I can't keep going to donors and saying, hey, I got $100,000 raised this year for NIL for this stud that we're bringing in. Great. He played 1 year. Oh, somebody got to him. Georgia wants him. So I busted my ass and I got $100,000 for this dude, and he's going to barely give me a year. Now the donor's pissed, and now I lost that. Now I lost that cash cow. I can't go to that cash cow anymore because he's pissed off because my players keep leaving.
If you do this monetary thing, you have to be really careful because, like, not everyone's being poached. Most people, I think, aren't being poached. Like, Michael Penix Jr. probably was like, yeah, I could make more money somewhere else. But he was also like,
Mike, I'm telling you,
getting crushed.
I'm telling you right now, you want to bring up UNC. I'm telling you right now, UNC football players were poached in the damn shaking hands line after games.
Probably, yeah.
So if we want to say CSU only has two guys that were actually being poached, that ain't true. I do believe in Jay Norvell. I do believe that somebody got in Braden Fowler Nicolosi's ear. And whether they had the money or not, I do believe that there were $600,000 floated around. And that's happening all over. Now, I'm not even just saying assuming they're being poached. If they enter the portal and they upgrade and they go up, they move up to a different level, the school's left with nothing. It's like LeBron James on steroids in college sports. LeBron James didn't want to be traded. He just left as a free agent, leaving the Cleveland Cavs with absolutely nothing. LeBron goes to Miami. They win championships because of it. This is that on steroids. I'm doing all the legwork to discover these players that you've never heard of, and you don't even want us on the same field as you, but then you discover them because we discovered them, and now you're going to have Billy Bob, your Uncle Ted, whatever, say, hey, man, I know that if you enter the portal, Tennessee's going to get you. Like, that's happening. That is happening all over the league now, all over college sports. All right, let's read some text, and then we'll break. Faith says someone has to push to revamp the NCAA structure. Get Saban or someone who doesn't mess around but respect it. See, Saban's problem, the problem with Saban is later, G5. You are nothing to us. Saban said it last week. They do not belong. All of your favorite guys you grew up watching, Nick Saban and Joel Klatt and all these guys, they're all saying the same thing. They don't deserve a seat at the table. James Madison went from an FCS team to a playoff team in 2 years. They don't deserve it. Screw them. Aaron says, I already see lawyers for the Power Four schools working on a way to make these college players sign contracts like the NFL. And I can see a buyout being part of that. Yeah, the problem is, how the hell is CSU going to sign guys have the same right to do that as Alabama? So CSU can sign Owen Long to 3 years and he can't go anywhere? Well, now you're going to pity for the players. They never got a real shot. Big Hub says, I think that's a little crazy, but is it poached if the kid's going somewhere better? You don't even have to call it poached. If a head coach leaves for a better job, the school has to do a buyout and pay the school money. They get money off of it. Great. The same thing should be happening for the players at some level. And I'm not talking crazy millions of dollars level, but there should be levels to this where if it's like Washington reported that they're paying Rocky Beers this much money, okay, he falls in this site. If you still want to sign him, you have to pay that school this much money. That's the only way G5 schools could hope to somewhat contend. 12:33 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Christmas, you filthy animal.
Download your favorite KFKA podcast today.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
That's on your wish list, Mike? I didn't know that, man. I'll write a note.
It's an AC/DC song.
Thank you. I know. How you doing, bro? The noodle concoction is really, really got you sideways right now.
Yeah.
You can't even. You couldn't
really
even
compounded some problems.
You couldn't even really go in on an argument with me. You were so subdued during that whole thing. I mean, I wanted to go rounds with you, and I looked, and I'm like, you don't feel like you can do this with me today. I was ready to go. You had the blood pumping for a second, and then I realized you were kind of just barely poking, and then you backed away, man. Come on. I'm ready for it.
Yeah,
but you're just hurting.
I'm not in the fighting mood right now.
You're not in the fight. You hate my idea, though, right?
I'll text you angry thoughts on Christmas. I'll bah humbug at you.
I just tweeted it simple, man. I just said, Power 4 people hate the idea of G5s on the same field as them. Okay. Then when you poach G5 players to the P4, you owe the school some sort of buyout. Or you don't get them. Mike, I'm tired of these guys. And I'm actually in between. Would I rather see Alabama play Ohio State or Tulane play Ole Miss on a regular basis? I'm not talking about this year. This year I had vested interest. On a regular basis, the answer is yes. I would rather see Alabama and Ohio State or Oklahoma, whatever. I would rather see that. Yeah. Overall. Locally, I have my own reasons for watching local games throughout the season over national games, but I try to watch as many national games as I can. When it comes to the playoffs, I do want to see the best team. If my team's not in, and I'm talking from, like, if the Broncos aren't going to make the playoffs, I want to see the best teams in there going at each other. But this is like, I'm getting so frustrated with, they just flat out don't belong, and they just need to create their own playoff now. They're not even here. Man, I don't know. They're probably right, just the way they go about it. Just bullying them around, man. Just elitist attitude. I feel like Robin Hood right now. I want to rob from the rich, and I want to feed the poor. You know, Mike, you liked Robin Hood. You were in on that. That was a good show, good cartoon. The Fox back in the day, and Kevin Costner in the 90s. Russell Crowe.
I have not seen that in like 30 years.
It was a great one. Robin Hood, man. You elitist out there with all your gold, and you don't care about us little peasants. Well, I'm going to steal your money, and I'm going to give it to the peasants so they can live.
Robin Hood's a socialist.
I'm going to steal, well, maybe, but in the sports terms, I'm Robin Hood. I want to go steal some gold from Washington. Not that Washington's getting the brunt of this just because you're a fan. I want to go steal some gold from Alabama, and I want to give it to Wyoming. You know, you want to steal our top tight end? You want to poach him? Fine, you give us a buyout of $1 million. $1 billion. Now, I don't care anymore. You and your Nick Sabans up there and your little ivory tower. Your little tower. Joel looking down on us. Joel Klatt's looking down on us. Oh, gosh. With his, like, nasally voice the way he talks. Like, oh, my gosh. I'm much better than you. You don't even belong here. How that NFL career work out? Okay, I'm just being petty. I'm just being petty because it's all I've heard for 2 weeks is G5 sucks. All of you guys don't belong here, but we have no problem trying to get one of your players on our team. I'm just tired of it.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Tired of Steve Smiley having to go find Dalton Kinect out of nowhere, out of a back alley somewhere, and the guy rips it apart for UNC, and then here comes Tennessee. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Here's some money. You're on our team now. But Steve found him. Don't care. Who's Steve? 43 after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Dexter says, Mike's noodle concoction and his belly aren't ready for his anger today. Also, the sugar is fueling your rage, Brady. See, like, you're out of it. You're like a zombie. I'm ready to freaking go. I'm ready to figure this out, man. Screw the elites.
I'm so messed up. I haven't had a chance to have Mountain Dew yet.
Can I have one of your Mountain Dews?
No.
Okay.
I only have one left.
Really? Man, you gotta stock up. I think I owe you a Mountain Dew, don't I?
I think you do, too.
I think I owe you some stuff.
Give me a 2-liter.
Do you see what, like, I know we don't have time to get into this. Memphis basketball coach Penny Hardaway is fining his players for violations of program rules now. He's fining them. He's fining his players. They're making money now, so he's like, I'm going to fine you. If you're late for something, you're getting fined. Can you do that? He started taking away Aaron Bradshaw's NIL money to motivate him. I find him for being late. I find him for violating our dress code. $3,000 here, $3,000 there. Guess who started to put in the effort? Can you do that? I don't think he can do that, Mike. Surely he's going to get in trouble for that.
He might not get in trouble, and don't call me Shirley.
I'm going to call you Shirley. 49 minutes after the hour, the fellas are ready. We've got a holiday edition of the Quarterback Toilet Bowl coming up at 1:05. Don't go anywhere. Things are going to get a little kooky. We say Quarterback Toilet Bowl, but we talk a lot of other things, too. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Don't you go anywhere.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Donner and Blitzen, tear through the sky, bringing good fortune, luck from on high.
What did I say about that? What did I say about it, Mike? What did I say?
This is beautiful Christmas music.
No, I said I want the conventional Christmas music. And what did you do?
This is conventional.
You did AC/DC, All I Want is a Mistress, and then you have, who was that?
That's Rob Halford. That's the lead singer of Judas Priest.
Yeah. Like, listen, when I'm in the Judas Priest mindset, I want that. But I'm in Christmas mode, Mike.
No, you're not.
Trying to find Christmas cheer. Well, it's you that pisses me off. It's your fault. I'm blaming you. All right, coming up next. I got to try to calm down. Inner peace. Inner peace.
Capitalism.
No, stop it. You're an elitist. You're an elitist, and this is college football. This isn't, you know, business, even though it is, but it's the most corrupt business ever. You're Tony Soprano trying to be all high and mighty here. It's what you are. You're Tony Soprano.
Never seen that show, but thank you.
Well, you're him. Quarterback Toilet Bowl, coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.